Welcome to Lights, Camera, Baby, brought to you by Mama Magic, where we explore the world of parenting, pregnancy, and birth with leading experts. I'm Progeny Patha, and today we're honored to have Alyssa DeSaldana with us, a seasoned birthing doula who brings a wealth of knowledge and compassion to her role. Now, Alyssa has supported countless families through one of the most transformative experiences of their lives, childbirth. And so we're going to be discussing what a birthing doula does, the unique support they offer, and how they can make a difference to labor and delivery. Alyssa, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I know you have so much to share with our listeners, and I'm so glad to introduce you to our listeners. So a very warm welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
Now tell me, let's start with, you are a birthing doula, right? What does that entail? What does that mean?
Okay, so as a birthing doula, we are trained professionals.
Right.
We assist with emotional, physical, educational support for mums.
Right.
Before, during, and after their birth.
Okay.
So we're not only there just for the birth.
Aha.
Yeah. So we educate them ahead of time and stuff like that. We are competent care providers, and we give them a safe and empowering birthing experience.
Now, tell me, so you're there to help mums. So what is the difference between you and, if I've got a gynae, why do I need a birthing doula?
Well, generally, and not to knock gynaes or anything, they just have a schedule. You walk in, it's like probably a 15, 30-minute appointment. You walk in, they check you. Are you okay, mom? Let's do a scan. Everything's fine. Okay, mom, see you next time. See you in a month's time or 2 weeks or however many times you need to see them.
And yet, I know you say that, and I remember those moments when you go and you're so excited about every appointment. Yes. And it's so quick. And you want so much more.
Yes.
But there's no time in that appointment to discuss all the niceties.
Yes. So what I normally do with my clients is I meet them first face-to-face, just as I would normally call it a coffee.
Right.
Then we get to know each other. Also to find out if they want to work with me or not.
Yes.
I always tell moms it's such a sacred space to work in. Mm-hmm. And you want someone that you connect with, someone you feel safe with. Because coming into that space, you don't just want just anybody.
Right.
So I normally meet them once, then I normally go and meet them again before their births, and then we get to know each other.
Yes. So you become my pregnancy friend. That's like, you know, it's your new best friend.
Yes. I think. Where you can WhatsApp me, like, I've got this weird pain. Where do you think this is? It might just be a pulled muscle or baby's sitting on the wrong space or whatever the case. Then we get to know them. I get to know their partners, husbands as well.
Yes.
I want them to know who I am. I'll go and check their bags and say, okay, do we have everything packed? Are you guys ready for the hospital?
Right.
Get their minds at ease. If they have any questions, like if they're concerned about a C-section, maybe if the vaginal doesn't work, how do I know I'm in labor? You know, that type of thing.
And I suppose as well, I mean, I'm just thinking about it when you have so many aches and pains and you don't know whether it's normal or not normal, or when should I call my gynae? When, you know, should I alert my husband? Or if I alert him, he's going to want to rush me into the trauma unit. I'm probably like 4 or 5 months pregnant, and there's some changes going on in my body.
Yes.
And instead of that, I get to call you first.
Yes. Or just WhatsApp and say, look, I'm not sure what this is. You know, even he can WhatsApp.
Yes.
You know, like there's something going on, we're not too sure. So most of the clients that I do get are more like at the end of their pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to get them at like maybe 16, 18 weeks.
Yeah.
Because then you walk along the journey with them.
Ah.
And you also get to know them better.
Do you feel that there's a lot of changes happening at that 16, 18 weeks as well in the body that you might not be sure of as a mom?
Yes, yes. I think throughout your pregnancy. I think from the time you're pregnant, you're kind of not sure what's happening.
What's normal?
Yeah,
what's not normal?
Yes, especially if it's your first baby.
That's just true. You don't know.
You know, and everybody comes with their stories and tells you all these stories. And
it can scare you.
Is different.
Yeah.
Yes. And yes, those scared. And they always tell you the scary stories. They never tell you the nice ones of, oh, this was so amazing. Or, you know, that type of thing.
Yes.
They're always telling you the scary things about how painful it's going to be.
Yes. And it makes you even more anxious.
Yes. Whereas we can tell them that everybody's different.
So absolutely.
Some of them may have the most amazing pregnancy, and others we just don't know.
Now, so you're saying the best time, ideally, the earlier you try and find a doula that suits you, the better.
I think so, yes.
Right, so you can establish a relationship, yes. Build a relationship of trust as well, yes. I'm assuming.
Yes, yes. Like I said, it's sacred. It's yes. so sacred to be in that space with this mom. You know, and coming into your, just walking in like you know them for 2 weeks and walking into their birth.
Yes.
You may not gel, maybe you just don't click at that point. So now you're sitting with a doula that you're not comfortable with and you don't know how to say to her, just leave. I don't want you here. Whereas if you know them longer, like I walked a journey with someone who, she was 9 weeks pregnant. And I walked with her from then.
Oh.
We're still friends. It's like family. Every yes. month she posts her baby's now about 6 months.
Oh.
Then I send her a message. You know, when it's her birthday, when it's my birthday.
So yes.
You kind of become more like family, I would yes. say.
That not relationship continues.
Yes, it continues because now she's asking, okay, what do I feed baby? How do I feed baby? What do I... You know, something's wrong with baby. She's not feeling well. What do I do? Do I take her to the hospital or can I just give her Panado?
Right.
You know, that type of thing.
Yes.
So your relationship doesn't end at birth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so the whole process is it starts before birth.
Yes.
And then as you build up. So take us through that stages as a birthing doula. So if I secure your services at, say, you know, 16 to 20 weeks, I'm continuing in conversation with you. What else will you be helping me with as a mom?
Okay, so
as I prepare.
So we do antenatal classes as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that prepares you for your birth. So it's normally the first two classes about the actual birthing, which is either vaginal or cesarean section.
Right.
Then the next one would be breastfeeding. And then the last one is generally postpartum.
Okay.
Giving you some idea of what postpartum would be. So like four classes. So we take you through that.
Yes.
Like I said, we help you make sure your bag is packed and what you might need for your bag, how to make it easier and stuff like that.
Why would you recommend moms go for these classes and have this information before they get to birth?
Knowledge is definitely powerful. Honestly, it really is. If they know what's going on and if they know kind of what to expect,
right.
They're not as anxious. It just makes it easier for them. So when the doctor says something or the nurse, they know the terms. They know what they're talking about. It's not like, what do you mean? What's going on? Like 1 centimeter, what does that mean?
Yes. You know? Now, do you think that anxiety will affect the delivery and baby?
Yes, yes. Anxiety definitely does. Because with them being anxious, they don't know, so they generally tense their bodies.
Ah.
Tensing your body makes the pain stronger, whereas if you're more relaxed and you're more comfortable and the experience is just better, much better. You and know, that's been proven with having a doula there, that the experience is shorter, the labors are shorter, the birth is better, less interventions.
Fascinating.
Yeah, less chance of a cesarean section and those types of things. So, yeah.
So, then when we get closer, what else do I need? I've done the classes.
Yes.
What is the next phase with you that we'll go through before I get to delivery now?
Okay, so what I also do is I have a WhatsApp and start a group, myself, daddy, my backup.
Yes.
And mommy. So if there's anything between that time, you know, like normally you can deliver any time from 36 weeks.
Okay.
So we kind of on standby from that time.
And and do you help mom, that all-encompassing hospital bag sometimes can be very daunting. Mm-hmm. Are you involved with that with mom?
Yes, we give them a list with the antenatal classes.
Right.
And also if they go to the hospitals, they generally get one. But then we'll advise them, okay, maybe you'll need this or that, or just to make it easier.
Yes.
There's some items that you really don't need or there's items that you would need,
yes.
Depending on which type of birth you have and how long the stay is and that type of thing. And also this is all obviously private.
Yes.
So, I do go and I sit with them, I'll help them. If they really need me to, we'll check the bags, I'll make sure everything's there. Have you got this? Did you remember that? Have you got your ID documents?
Right.
Sometimes people forget that. ID documents, your medical aid cards and things like that.
Oh, where such simple things, yes.
Yes. Where is everything so that if hubby is in a tiz and he's not sure what's going on,
yes.
I can say to him, okay, you calm down. I know where everything is. I'll take it for you.
Absolutely.
So that's how close I get to them. That if I need to be there while they're still at home, I am with them. And even getting them to the hospital, I'll drive behind them and that type of thing.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
So it's literally not only a support for mom.
Yes.
You know, dad also does. And you know, men want to fix things. You know, your head is sore. What? Where's the Panado? Let me get.
Have you taken the medicines?
Yes, have you? So, and they can't fix this. All they can do is support.
Yes, and be there.
Be there and you know, just experience it with their partner.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we get to the hospital, how do you advise moms to create a calm and a beautiful birthing environment? What can moms do? And how much power do they have to do that? Because these days, you know, do hospitals allow that?
Okay, so it's hospital dependent also.
Right.
Depending where they're going to deliver. I find the medi clinics are quite
flexible.
Yeah, they are quite open to just leaving the mom to do what she needs to, being able to walk around if she wants to be mobile, if she wants to be on the ball. Also, the CTG machines that they put on don't have cords or wires.
So the CTG machines are machines that measures?
It measures the
heartbeat?
The heartbeat and the contractions.
Ah, okay, right.
So it, they're able
to, so it's cordless.
Yes, so they're able to move around and not be stuck to the wires. I'm sure you remember.
Yes, I do.
Having to just lay in bed while
and be still.
Yes. So with this, you can be mobile, which is brilliant. They have, some of them have bathtubs that you can get in the water. Otherwise, there's a shower as well.
Yes.
You can stand in the shower. And they have the seat where you can even sit with a shower on your back and that type of thing. So what I advise them to do is you get those candles, the ones at China Mall.
Yes.
We don't want real candles. We want to burn the hospital.
Okay. Okay. So those LED light candles, preferably.
Yeah. So those little ones with the little batteries in.
Yes.
That they can put all over the rooms. So we can dim the lights, put the lights off and just have that. I tell them to put together a playlist of the music that they enjoy and like and that they'd like to listen to. So to take their little speakers with them, their phones, have their playlist going. If they have any like sayings that they want to say, like, I'm built for this, I'm made for this, you know, anything that will encourage them that they want to take with, that we can put around the room or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, it's dependent.
And the hospital dependent and obviously mum dependent as well, because we also different.
On what they enjoy. Some of them like their smelling salts, some of them like their diffusers, that type of thing, which they can take with as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can create a very homely, calming environment where.
In a hospital.
Yes.
You can.
So it sounds like you're tapping into the different senses, right?
Yes.
To create the calmness.
The smell, the taste, a nice goodie bag.
Yeah.
For them to eat, because they need to be hydrated. They need they can still eat. The stuff that you can't eat during labor.
Yes, it's not like you're going, like when you normally go into theater and you're being put on the anesthetic, you know, you can't eat anything. But here you're saying.
Yes, they can eat. They can have something to drink. Like I say, they need to be hydrated. And yeah, so I always say, and for dad, he needs also to be able to eat and, you know, have. You know, some snacks in his bag and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So a snack bag is very important. Yeah.
Because it could be a long day.
Yeah, we just don't know. But what I try to advise my clients is not to rush off at the first pain, especially with your first baby, because you're going to end up being there for hours and then you're going to be on their clock.
Mm.
And then interventions, chances of that happening is just unfortunate. Yes.
So we said, you know, from a sight perspective, you know, putting up things in the room that will look appealing. You talked about creating different smells with diffusers. Mm-hmm. And then from a touch perspective, are you allowed to bring in your own gowns, for example, or blankie or a soft toy or something that...
Like I said, also hospital dependent, depending where you go.
Yes.
Yes, you can come in because they don't immediately put you in the hospital gown. Some of them don't. They just leave you. If you have a baggy T-shirt or your nightshirt, they're quite fine to just leave you like that.
Right.
And only when it's time, almost time for the birth, and I'll help mom to get into the gown. Because, I mean, she might be wanting to be in the water and out the water and things like
that. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, like you're saying, then some lovely music to listen to or something that you want to, whether it's inspiring, motivational.
Maybe a gospel music or whatever you enjoy, something that's calming and soothing to your soul and your spirit at that point. Then obviously the massaging as well.
Yes.
We do lots of massaging mom's back. her feet, the shoulders. I sometimes even massage their hands, you know, just to keep them calm and stuff like that.
And so whilst you're doing this, whilst you're there, you're a birthing doula, you're there for mom, but you're also teaching dad some tricks along the way, yes, during this journey together, right? Yes, and how to, yes, prepare him.
Yes. Men are generally so good at with the hips, where they can put counter pressure on the hips,
oh,
because their hands are big,
yes,
and they're stronger, so they're able to and sometimes it's the weirdest thing ever. I've seen almost every mom, if you just press the hips together, which you would think is like so counterintuitive,
yes,
that actually relieves their pain and the pressure.
That is fascinating. Yes.
And dad can do that, and dad is so good at doing that, you know, rubbing, yes, the ball on the back, even massaging mom's back and that type of thing. They can be so involved. There's no reason for men not to be involved with their partners at all.
Yep. And if it's not dad, and if you have a partner, just having someone there, yes, for you, somebody that you're comfortable with, mm-hmm, somebody that you know has walked this journey with you. And
yes,
is,
yes, yes, exactly.
Yep. Now tell me, if we talk about, you know, breathing and massage and those kind of things, mm-hmm, what kind of exercises do you recommend? Is it, you know, you watch all the movies and you know, you look at the movies and maybe it's a bad example, but...
Because it's never like the movies. It's never like
that. So what kind of massage, what kind of breathing techniques and things like that do you encourage, or is it different for everybody?
So generally it's breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth.
Right.
It's generally that. So a lot of the mums also that I have in private practice worked with, they've done yoga, you know, pregnancy yoga. So while they've done that, they've already learned how to breathe.
Oh, I see.
So we just use that same breathing, which they're already used to. But generally it's through the nose and out the mouth.
And does that create a calmer state?
Yes, and it helps with the... I prefer to call them surges than contractions, because when you say contractions, it just sounds like pain.
I know it does. And yeah, you feel like contracting, yes, yourself, yes, physically.
If you say surge, it just sounds calmer. It doesn't sound as painful.
And it almost sounds empowering, to be honest.
Yes, yes. And I always remind them of the ocean.
Yes.
Of how the waves build up. So that's what the surge is about.
Ah, of course.
It builds to the peak and then it breaks. So... if you think, I always, you know, we try to do visualizing as well. Visualize that your cervix is opening. Every time you have a surge, your cervix is opening. It's closer to meeting your baby, you know, right, that type of thing. So giving them visualizing and that. Because also, birth is a very much a head game.
Okay.
If you say to yourself, I cannot birth this baby, you're most likely not going to. But if you say, I can, and my body's made for this, and God made me this way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those cases, mums will birth that baby amazingly.
And no probably issues. Quicker.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Then if you resist.
Things, yes, exactly. And look, it does get painful, I'm not going to lie.
Of course.
Birth is painful.
Yeah.
But we always say that we're the walking epidural. The doulas are the walking. You don't need an epidural if you have a doula, because you have a walking epidural.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, so we kind of help you through all that.
Yeah, and you probably, you know, dad doesn't need to feel so left out, because you're there supporting both of them, empowering both of them, yes, as well. Now let's talk about, I've heard all this about terms about a birth plan. I mean, most moms like myself probably, you know, had a, and never realized that I actually had a birth plan.
Yes.
But let's talk about to moms who don't know what a birth plan is, and dads as well, and what it is and how important is it?
Okay. So I also prefer to refer to it as a birth map.
Birth map. Okay, yes.
Because plans change.
That is true.
So if it's a map, like, mm-hmm, so a lot of people that I incorporate, it's like a yes-no type of thing. So if this happens, what do we do next?
Right, yes.
If that happens, what do we do next type, yes, of thing? So that kind of gives you an idea. So, okay, if that really doesn't happen, and now we do have to go to that, at least you kind of have it. You know, yes, like that map kind of a thing, that if it changes, it's also not as, doesn't make the mom as anxious.
Got you.
Yeah. Because then you. She already knows, okay, we do have an idea of what's going to happen. Okay, if this doesn't happen, that's the intervention. Maybe I do get to a point where I want pain meds, so I can ask for it. Because we don't tell the mom that they can't ask for it. If they really feel that they need it and they really want to, then they are They need to ask for it.
Okay, so it's what do you want?
Yes. What do you envision? Firstly, what do you envision this to be like? And then in the instance where, okay, now you want pain meds, what do we do? Do you want an injection? Do you want an epidural? We give them all the options.
Because at that time, there's so much going on.
Yes.
You're in pain. There's all the anxiety. There's all the hormones flying around. And it's hard to make a decision then. So educate yourself before and decide before. Is that what you're saying?
And we give them the options. There's no, being a doula does not mean that we're going to say to you, we're doing this naturally. You will get no pain medication and no.
This is the only way.
No, it's not the only way.
Right.
At the end, we want a healthy mum and a healthy baby.
Yes.
Whichever way that child is born, it doesn't matter. As long as at the end is a healthy mum and a healthy baby. And a good experience also, because we don't want trauma.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
So if she needs to go into an emergency C-section, and that generally happens really quickly, like within 30 minutes from the time that they tell you you need to go into a C-section, within 30 minutes then you're in theatre and baby's out. That's how quickly it happens. You don't have time to process. And if you're a processing person, there's no time to process that.
Right. So who's there? So you've got a birth plan or a birth map, like we're saying, as a guideline. Now, if mom is in so much of distress, who would ensure that this birth map is followed?
Dad.
Right.
Dad.
So that partner is important. It's important that not just mum plans this with you, that partner that's going to be in the room with you is very aware of your choices.
Yes, and that's why we also give dad the antenatal classes. Mm-hmm. He needs to attend too.
Yes, because so you're not doing this alone.
No, you're not. Baby wasn't made alone.
Yes.
Yeah, so what? So you both need to know what the choices are. You both need to know what the decisions are. Mm-hmm. And so dad would then advocate for mum. If she's not in a position to. So I don't intervene.
So are you in the birthing room with mom and dad?
Yes, I am.
And if it's a Caesar?
Some hospitals will allow us to go in.
Right.
I've been in quite a few Caesars as well. But all I'm doing is supporting mom. So we stay out of everybody's way. We don't interfere with the doctors and nurses. Whatever the doctor says goes. Because I'm not medical. I am a professional.
Yes.
But I'm not medically.
Of course. Now, is there any hospitals or doctors that tell you you cannot have, you don't need a birthing doula?
I think maybe some doctors might have had experiences.
Bad experiences.
Yes.
With
people might have overstepped or they felt threatened by us. But there's no need to be because we're not there to replace anybody in that. We're there to work together with the entire team.
So would you ever go during the later appointments with your gynae, my gynae, would you ever go on that visit just to get familiar with the gynae?
So that
the gynae gets familiar with you, right?
I actually have. With one of my clients, she asked me, and she even asked the doctor, because we always ask the doctor's permission.
Yes.
I don't just show up to an appointment. I'm like, I'm your doula. No.
No.
We ask permission, and then we'll schedule it and say, okay, at this appointment, check with your doctor. Can I attend? If they're happy to see me and meet me, that's fine. Then I'll go. And I just introduce myself and tell them what I'm there to do. And yes, obviously, the next time they see me is at the birth. And then they know my face, and they know what I'm there for, and they can see that I'm not interfering medically with anything. I'm just there for the mum and the dad and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it sounds like quite a emotional journey, emotional attachment, because like you're saying, the doctor's there to tick the boxes in terms of medically and make sure physically that everything happens the way it should be happening.
Yeah.
But you're there for that psychological support, that emotional support that is crucial, we know, when you're giving birth, because it's not just a medical, intervention or thing that is happening. Mm-hmm. You know, we know we're with a medical professional, but it doesn't have to be clinical, right?
No, it doesn't have to be, because it's actually quite a normal thing to do.
Yes.
Going to the bathroom is something you do every day.
That's right.
Normal. Nobody teaches you how to do it. Nobody intervenes with you and tells you this is what you need to do.
Yes.
So the same with birth. And that's why we empower our mums and their partners and husbands with knowledge. so that they can ask. And we also encourage them to speak to their gynees and ask their gynees, you know, are they comfortable with having a doula?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, like I say, if they're not comfortable, I will support her as best I can, till as far as I can.
Yes.
If they say no, then I can't force my way into that hospital and be there.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, I think it's such an essential service. I wish I had the opportunity for both my babies. But I think our moms today do have that choice. They have the choice of having somebody by their side to advocate for them, to ensure the map is there as a plan. So how do moms go about finding a doula that's right for you? How do you know which doula is right for me, and where do I find them?
Okay, so I would advise moms to do interviews.
Yes.
Like you would interview for a helper to look after your baby.
Yep.
Same way you
would. Or an au pair. Yes.
Same way you would interview a doula. So there's obviously the womb site.
Yes.
Which is the training that I did.
Right.
So that you can log on to there. There's a list of doulas.
Okay.
In areas in the entire South Africa.
Wonderful.
So we're not only based in
Gauteng,
but throughout South Africa, there are doulas. And then you can choose a couple of names from there. If you've got friends that have had doulas, ask them for recommendations.
That's very helpful as well.
Yes, because they would have had an experience with a doula and would be able to tell you firsthand. Then also Sensitive Midwifery also has doulas listed on there. And you can also just search doulas in South Africa and names would pop up and stuff like that.
Wonderful.
But I think word of mouth would kind of be the best one, because then at least someone's had an experience.
Yes.
So they would be able to say to you, you know, I've worked with this person and this was my experience and that type of thing. Or otherwise, even on Mamahood Gauteng on Facebook, I see requests going out daily. Refer doulas, tell me, give me some names and things. And then you interview them like you would interview anybody for a job. And you get comfortable. Do you like the person? Do you like their ethics? Do you like what they do? Maybe you just don't gel with someone. Mm. You just don't know.
Yeah, so because everybody's different, and there's doulas with different personalities and different methods, probably, in different ways to create or help you on this birthing journey and this pregnancy. And there's a doula for everybody, right? There's somebody to fit everybody.
I do believe there's a doula for everybody.
Yes.
So yes, not everybody's for me. I'm not for everybody.
Absolutely.
That type of thing.
So Alyssa, in parting, thank you so much for the insightful information and to make us understand how important it is to have a birthing doula by our side when you're pregnant. Now, what would be one piece of advice you would give to moms as they prepare for the arrivals of their babies? What is the one, you know, burning piece of advice that you find that mums maybe, you know, don't realize or take for granted or forget to consider? I'm sure there's a lot of things, but what was the one or two that you might...
I think the one thing is just get as much knowledge as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Read up as much as you can and ask questions. Don't be afraid. Remember, it is your body at the end of the day.
Yes.
It's your birth. It is your journey. So you need to ask. Even with your gynees, you need to ask them questions and ask, you know, they should make time for you.
Yes.
That's why I say I'm not knocking gynees at all. I mean, they are amazing. They're medical professionals and they do amazing work. So ask them questions if you're not sure of something. But doc, how does this work? What does this mean?
When should I expect this?
Yeah. Yes, ask the questions. And look, not all doctors have the time, but I mean, you also need to be comfortable with your caregiver.
Yes.
So also when you choose a gynee, don't also just go for the first one. You need to be comfortable and ask them those questions. Are you happy with the doula? Do you mind if I ask questions? Because also there should be some sort of a relationship.
Absolutely. There,
because they also come into your sacred space.
Yes. Would you recommend writing those questions down before your visits? Because they come so quickly.
Yes, definitely.
And you look forward to those gynae visits because you want to see baby, of course.
Mm. No, definitely. Write them down. Have a list of things. And like I say, if you need to change gynees, then you do.
Yeah. And if you need help writing those questions down, you've got your doula there to help you, to guide you and ask those questions as well. Alyssa, thank you so very much for sharing that information with us, for sharing insights on how important having a birthing doula is and what a wonderful experience you can create for mums who are about to go into childbirth. And obviously the long-term effects on that whole family.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Wonderful. Thank you once again, Alyssa, for such an enlightening conversation. It's clear that having a birthing doula can transform the birth experience and help parents feel safe, empowered, and truly supported. So for our listeners, we'll include Alyssa's contact details and a few recommended resources that she's mentioned to help you find a doula in our show notes. And if you enjoyed today's episode, we encourage you to please share it with your partner, a friend, or another expectant mom who might benefit from learning about the incredible support doulas provide. Building a community of informed, empowered parents is what Lights Camera Baby is all about. And together, we can spread helpful information to support each other through this incredible journey into parenthood. Moms and dads, thank you so much for joining us. And remember, when we share knowledge, we all grow stronger together. For me, Progeny Patha, see you next time.